This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma lakal hamd hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yirda. Allahumma lakal hamd kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa azim sultanik lakal hamd hatta tarda wa lakal hamd idha radit wa lakal hamd ba'da rida. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the best of praises, and indeed He is the owner of all praise and is the most deserving of all praise, and especially since He has brought us to this point in Ramadan and has brought us to yet another special night from the nights of Ramadan, and in particular a special night from the last 10 nights of Ramadan. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our deeds. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We continue with Surah Yusuf, extracting from it pearls, extracting from it benefits, wisdoms, subhanallah, enlightenment for us to take guidance from in the 21st century as we live our lives, irrespective of where we are, irrespective of place, irrespective of space. Such is the phenomenal nature of the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, and such is the diligence of his life, subhanallah. Indeed, the best of all stories. Indeed, a story that is an entire school. It is the school of life. It is the university of life. If one is asked to describe Surah Yusuf in a sentence, then surely we can only say that it is the university of life, because there's so many facets that it showers upon us guidance with. Subhanallah, you literally feel the guidance falling upon our hearts and souls as we ponder over the ayat, just as we experience the pitter-patter of raindrops falling from the heavens. Subhanallah, and we've had a rainy day in Melbourne, so I think we can relate to this this example, this parallel. Yesterday we stopped at the point of Yusuf alayhi salam being established in the land, and we went into the details of what this really means, subhanallah. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling us that He Himself established Yusuf in the land, Allah subhanahu, and we spoke about this, right? That it's all the qadr of Allah. And whatever Allah does, He does good. And our reality or should be one of submission to Allah, recognizing that subhanallah, whatever we're going through, whatever difficulties we're facing, at the end of the day, if Allah opened the qadr to us and showed us all the options in front of us, ultimately we would have chosen for ourselves what Allah has chosen for us, because we would see the whole picture that Allah sees and we don't see. And thus it is upon us to be patient. And subhanallah, we heard verses in tonight's Taraweeh, in the Taraweeh that we just completed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for the one who is patient, then indeed this is from the azm. This is from min azm al-umur. This is from the most complete of matters. Subhanallah. Because ultimately we need character, and it's patience that keeps our character shining bright. We know a lot of things, subhanallah. We learn a lot of things, subhanallah. And sometimes we actually absorb a lot of things, and it's manifest in our character. But then we go through periods in our life where we act upon ajalah. We act in haste, the opposite of patience. And subhanallah, our character isn't felt during those moments. Our character isn't felt during those moments. So Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us, subhanallah, how beautiful patience really is. And the more difficult things get, then the more beautiful your patience should get. And the more beautiful your patience, then the more beautiful your character. Right? Trusting the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. Na'am. Just one second. Na'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whoever endures patiently, and we're talking about how patience maintains your character. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, maintains his or her character through being patient and forgives. Subhanallah. What stops us from forgiving those who wronged us? Ultimately, what is it? Our refusal to be patient, to go the extra mile. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever endures patiently and forgives, surely this is a resolve to aspire to. This is the azm, what we said, the most complete form of character. That character that you should aspire to achieve. That character that you should desire to have in your life, subhanallah. Subhanallah. And it is this character that allows you to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first all the time. Think about, subhanallah, the story of the ifk. You know the story of the ifk? Have you heard of the story? The ifk. This was the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Aisha radiallahu anha through. When the hypocrites of Medina, they started a rumor that she was unfaithful, that she was promiscuous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put her through this trial. A long time went before Allah revealed verses from the heaven, purifying her. And this trial, subhanallah, was so severe, no doubt it affected the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for he stopped going to her until this clarity came from the heavens. It affected some of the Sahaba in the sense that, subhanallah, from the closest to the family of Aisha was a person who slipped with regards to this rumor and accepted the status quo, that which was being spread like wildfire in Medina. Misbah, the relative of Abu Bakr, a person from the earliest of Muslims, he was from the Muhajirun, a person who was impoverished, and Abu Bakr used to worship Allah through spending, meaning giving him money. He used to give him money regularly. Abu Bakr used to intend Allah's pleasure through spending on Misbah, because Allah loves when you're charitable, and especially if you're charitable to a family member. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Aisha's innocence, Abu Bakr became very angry with Misbah. He became upset with Misbah. Now, isn't this from human nature? It's from human nature. A human being can feel angry. A human being can feel sad. A human being can exhibit signs of sadness, tears, stress. And we see this in Surah Yusuf when we'll get to it, inshallah. Ya'qub alayhi salam and his stress and him losing his eyesight and so on and so forth. This is part of human nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the story reminds us that this story is a story of human beings. People like you, they had hearts. Their hearts used to beat. They had blood. They had veins. They had arteries. They had hearts with four chambers. They had bicuspid valves. They were human beings. They were human beings. They felt what people feel. They felt stress. They felt happiness. They felt sadness. They felt tearful. They felt these human emotions. Abu Bakr felt what he felt, and he made a promise, I will never spend on Misbah again. Abu Bakr, subhanallah, his character is phenomenal, right? It's a human being. It's a human being. He says, I will not spend on Misbah again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses from the heavens about this. Allah reveals verses from the heavens about this. And take heed of this, because we will get to the point where Yusuf already tells his brothers that he forgave them, subhanallah. And this would tie in. Because we're talking about character, we're talking about patience, and we're talking about this other verse that we heard today in the Taraweeh. The person who is patient and forgives. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us here? That for you to forgive, you need to be patient. You need to be able to hold yourself and put Allah first. That everything about you wants to break away, but you keep yourself together. Abu Bakr, the best from amongst us, what happened? He went off his normal character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses calling him to patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Nur, subhanallah, وَمَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ في سبيل الله. سبحان الله. Allah says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَسَعَ. About Abu Bakr, testimony from the heavens that Abu Bakr is min ulul fadl. He's blessed, he's virtuous, he's from the people of virtue. Allah says it wasn't for the people of virtue. A person from the family of virtue to take an oath, to swear by Allah, to refrain from spending for the sake of Allah on, subhanallah, on a relative, on someone who's poor and someone who's from the muhajirun. These three descriptions describe who? Mistah, his relative, who wronged him, who wronged his family. And the beginning of the verse describes who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And by the way, as a footnote, this is evidence against those who say Abu Bakr left Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they curse him and insult him. وَلِعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. This Quran is read till the day of Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes testimony over Abu Bakr to descend from the heavens, that he is from the people of virtue. That's a footnote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Allah commands Abu Bakr to forgive, to pardon him, and yasfahu, to forgive him a forgiveness that is so perfect as if, subhanallah, this wrong didn't happen in the first place. You know, we talk about forgiveness and we talk about forgiving and forgetting. Now, open a new page. Start a new page with him. Forgive and forget. Allah is saying, forgive him a perfect forgiveness. A command from the heavens, from Allah to Abu Bakr. Don't only forgive, but forget. Meaning, don't forgive him and remind him tomorrow, remind him a week later, remind him 5 years later. You know, sometimes it happens. You forgive someone and then you're friends, and one day maybe you're just on the golf course somewhere, or you in a restaurant somewhere, and then something comes up and you say, hey, but remember, huh? You remember that time, subhanallah, you did that, huh? Hey, I was really angry, yeah? But then, alhamdulillah, Allah guided us and guided me and we forgave each other, alhamdulillah. But you're reminding him now. Allah is taking us to a higher level of character. Allah commands Abu Bakr to forgive and pardon him. Then Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Subhanallah. Allah is saying, directing this to Abu Bakr, do you not love for Allah to forgive you? Do you not love for Allah to forgive you? Are you perfect with Allah? Do you not love for Allah to forgive you? Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Abu Bakr receives these verses. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announces these verses. Abu Bakr says, bala wallah. Indeed, I love for Allah to forgive me. Immediately he forgives Mistah and he resumes spending on him, and the scholars of Tafsir say he increased his spending on Mistah. And only did he resume, he increased. As proof that it's a new page. It's forgotten as if it didn't happen. This needs a level of patience, ya jama'ah, my dear congregation, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Yusuf had this. Everywhere he went, he didn't hold anyone accountable. Even the minister's wife, what she did to him. Even the women of the city, we can see him, things moved on. Once the king spoke to them and everything was finished, did Yusuf say, no, I demand my justice. They put me into prison. They put me into prison whilst I was innocent. This was a crime in and of itself. It went against the constitution of the law of the land. So now I want my haqq. I want my rights. They need to be jailed for what they did. Did we see this? Move on. Forgive. Be the bigger person. Look at the bigger picture. Forgive people for their ignorance. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. When they came to him at Uhud and they struck him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even in this moment he says to Allah, forgive my people because they don't know. Forgive my people, they don't know. They're doing this because they don't know. They haven't understood what I've understood, ya Allah. Forgive them. Don't destroy them. Leave them, preserve them. Give me a chance to work with them. When the people of Ta'if disgraced him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did they stone him, they got the children to stone him. Those who are Arabs, you know this. This is like not to chase you out, to disgracefully chase you. We'll bring the kids to stone you as well, to reject you as well. Certain cultures have different ways of showing disgrace. Some cultures, they throw slippers at you, shoes. Huh? You remember this one? Who remembers the shoes throwing incident? Now, somebody might say, what is a shoe going to do? This is a statement in some cultures. Somebody throws you their shoe, subhanAllah, they've really debased you. They've really debased you. You might have boxing skills to dodge, but it doesn't change the fact that the shoe was thrown at you. And sometimes not one, two, huh? They reach down, and then they went over the next one. Yes, every culture has its way. They did this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Jibreel came with the angels of the mountains, and he's being informed that these angels are under instruction by the Lord of the mountains, give them the word and they will crush the people in between. And what does he say, subhanallah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is when you sent as a mercy. But when you sent as a mercy to the world and you're a human being, what level of patience do you need, my dear brother and sister in Islam? Man sabara wa ghafara. Allah is telling us to forgive, you need to be patient. And then Allah says, inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. This is the adab, the manners, the morals, the etiquette, the character that you should aspire to reach. And this is a continuation from what we discussed yesterday, making your life a waqf. No one owns it but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as Allah is pleased with you, it doesn't matter who is not happy with you. And if Allah is unhappy with you, it doesn't matter how many people are pleased with you. If Allah is pleased with you and no one is pleased with you, wallahi wa billahi wa tallahi, you have everything, because the one who is pleased with you is the owner of everything. And if everyone is happy with you and Allah is unhappy with you, wallahi wa billahi wa tallahi anta fi khusrani mubin. You are in a great loss. You are in a major loss. Because the one who controls everything is unhappy with you. Everybody else's happiness doesn't matter. This is the way of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And these are the stories of the Quran. Not just to read fairy tales. To read and become uplifted. To become enlightened. These are the days to transform ourselves. These days are a launching pad to launch ourselves into transformation, into excellence. That there's people we aren't talking to before Eid. Make a move. There's people who are trying to make amends with us, but we're refusing to make amends with them. We want to close the door. Yes, we right and they wrong, but they're coming to us saying, forgive me and let bygones be bygones. And we are saying, no. I'm saying to you, O servant of Allah and O child of Adam, if he is your Muslim brother and your Muslim sister, don't let another day go by where he or she goes to sleep at night thinking, subhanallah, this person is going to be a problem for me on the day of Qiyamah. Because some of us, we also have this, huh? We say, we'll see you in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Huh? We want people to feel hurt. What if the tables turn? And tomorrow we do something to somebody and they tell us the same thing. There's a wonderful story, subhanallah, that I read about Imam al-Nawawi. Imam al-Nawawi, his fiqh view was in terms of hadiyah, in terms of gifting, when you gift someone a gift. His fiqh view was that if you intend to give someone a gift, it's only counted as a gift if they receive it from you. If they don't receive it from you, the gift, the transaction is not complete. If you pass away before giving it to them, they didn't receive it from you, it goes into the inheritance, meaning there's consequences. It is said that once he managed to save up enough to get himself some new slippers. And he wore his slippers. And he went to the masjid. And he went to the masjid and he prayed. Alhamdulillah, after salah, he came out, him and his students. He found his students. The students found their slippers, but he couldn't find his slippers. Subhanallah. You might not know this in Australia, wallahu a'lam. But there's some countries, I can tell you, we know this. Now, we know this, subhanallah. You go, and there's no khushu if you don't have your slippers with you. Constantly you're thinking about the slippers. The shoes. Your Reeboks. Huh? What are they? What's the latest shoes now? What do you guys like to wear? The latest trainers and is it? What's it? When we were growing up, it's been like Nike Airs. Yeah. If you had Nike Airs, subhanallah. And tabattal, ya akhi. If your parents bought you a set of Nike Airs, when we were growing up in the 90s, Nike Airs, I'm giving away my age now, Allahu musta'an. But if you had Nike Airs, it's like you had everything. You know, you could see the bubble, you could press, and then there were sometimes they had shoes with lights. Now it's old school, akhi. We used to walk and these lights used to come on. Imam an-Nawawi didn't find his slippers. So he looked around, he saw someone walking off with his slippers. So Imam an-Nawawi didn't say anything to anybody. He started walking behind this person that I might catch up with him and we can resolve this. But as he's walking, subhanallah, this person thinks, the person behind me must be the owner of the slippers. Sahib al-Ni'al, the owner of the slippers. So he starts walking faster. So Imam an-Nawawi starts walking faster. Now he knows he's definitely the owner of the slippers. Why is this person pursuing me? Why is he maintaining distance? So this person started running. Now the students are watching the Imam going after this person, barefooted, doesn't have shoes. And as this person starts running, Imam an-Nawawi starts running. And Imam an-Nawawi starts calling out to him, Ya Ukhay, Ya Ukhay. Ukhay meaning Tasghir Akhi, my younger brother. Ya Ukhay. Qul qabilt. Qul qabilt. Say you accept. Say you accept. Make me hear you say you accept. Lakin, when you steal somebody something, Ya Akhi, you stop hearing. Isn't it? The heart starts beating, the stress is climbing, yani the senses stop working. You just want to get out of there. One of those Tom and Jerry movements. You know when Jerry sees Tom? Everybody knows Tom and Jerry, let's be honest. Subhanallah. Everywhere I go, irrespective of language, everyone knows Tom and Jerry. We know when we were growing up, Tom and Jerry is the halal cartoon, isn't it? No, nothing wrong in there. No non-mahram, no yani. When Jerry sees Tom, you see him running and you see these lines behind him, like air, huh? Sprinting. This man started sprinting. Imam an-Nawawi couldn't keep up with him. He came back. When he came back to the masjid and he met his students, he was visibly upset. Hadha huwa shahid. This is the point. He was visibly upset. Visibly upset. And his students, obviously, they feel for their teacher. They feel for the teacher. They said, yeah, Imam, we'll get you some slippers. And he says, I'm not upset about the slippers. I'm not upset about the slippers. I'm upset because he didn't accept the gift from me. I was gifting him the slippers. I went after him to tell him, this is a hadiyah from me to you. Say qabil, say I accept. So that on the day of Qiyamah, with Allah, it's a gift between me and him. Now, I'm really sad because Allah will question him on the day of Qiyamah about this. I don't want to be a means of my brother's difficulty on the day of Qiyamah. La ilaha illallah. Huh? Look at the level of character. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. أي سورة هذه يا جماعة؟ وإذا وحفاظ سورة فاطر. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غفور شكور. سبحان الله. أخي والله, you can sit with the Quran day and night, والله. Allah says, indeed those who read the Quran, they read the Quran and they become guided because of the Quran. Because of the reading of the Quran, أقاموا الصلاة, they established the salah. وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم, they spend from that which we gave them. سرا وعلانية, in secret and in open. يرجونا, they desire from their actions, from their salah and their zakah and all their manifestations, their sabr, their forgiveness. يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً, a sale, a deal, a transaction with Allah. لَنْ تَبُورَ, that brings no loss. They want to invest with Allah, an investment that has no risk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, from His fadl, this is from Allah's fadl, from His blessings upon us, He says, لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. That through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah even gives them the salah and gives them the zakah and gives them the sadaqah, all these ideals they read about in the Quran, all this character Allah teaches them in the Quran so they can aspire to do it. Allah connects them to it so Allah can reward them and increase for them His virtues, His fadl, His benevolence. Allah says, إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allahu Akbar. These khawatim al-ayat, Allahu Akbar. They make the meaning of the verses pop. Huh? Subhanallah. Allah, look at the names Allah chose of His. إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ. Indeed Allah is غَفُور. The one whose occupation is to forgive. يعني غَفُور عَلَى وَزْن فَعُول. We spoke about this in the Jum'ah khutbah. The one whose occupation is to forgive. Shakur. Shakur meaning the one who rewards, he receives your good deeds in a manner that is hopeful for you. You don't have to do your good deeds and doubt, did Allah accept my ibadah? Didn't He accept my ibadah? No, Allah is shakur. Worship Allah and have good hope He's accepted your ibadah. Because, Ya Allah, you taught me you are Shakur. So, Ya Allah, Abadtuka, I worshipped you. Wasa'ansarif, and I'm now going to my next task, believing that I will see this ibadah with you on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. This is how we need to behave. We need to be with our Lord. We need to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the level of interaction we must have with our Rabb, subhanAllah. This uns, this closeness to Allah. And you get it from reading the Quran. Allah is ghafoor, meaning ghafoor and shakoor. Why does Allah say ghafoor and shakoor? Because we know we cannot worship Allah haqqa ibadati. And we cannot give Him His haqq, His rights in our worship. We cannot thank Him the way He deserves to be thanked. We cannot worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped. Allah says He's ghafoor. He still will reward you. He will forgive you for your mistakes in your ibadah. No doubt when you were in Taraweeh now and the recitation was happening, your mind maybe went somewhere. Maybe for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it disappeared from the salah. It happens. Allahu musta'an. We live in difficult times. But we don't lose hope in Allah at the end of the salah. Say, Allah, innaka antal ghafoor ash-shakur. Indeed, you are the one who forgives our mistakes and shakur accepts our deeds. Umuman, in any case, brothers and sisters in Islam, yani the brother said, focus on the reflection, Sheikh. We have so much to go through. But I really want to drive this point home because, wallahi, what do we have? Ramadan comes once a year, then what happens to us during 11 months of the year? And I said to you at the beginning that our sessions are to connect to the Quran. Connect to it. I want you to connect to it. You know what a connection is? When the connection is live, it can't be separated. Build your character. Do not let the day of Eid come except that you've made way with somebody. Build yourself up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Ya Allah, I want to forgive him because I love for you to forgive me. I want to forgive her because I love for you to forgive me, Ya Allah. Now this doesn't mean you need to have a full-blown open relationship that you had with them before. No, but at least let the situation ease. يعني خلي الموقف يتنفس قليلا يعني. Let the circumstance between you two breathe a little bit. Where that person can worship with peace, not with worry, because of your step or two forward. May Allah grant us the understanding. Ameen. SubhanAllah, we spend so much time on this point. But it's here. It's here, the character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wanted to connect it to the verse in the Taraweeh because when I heard it in the Taraweeh, I said, SubhanAllah. We're reading about the person of this verse, Yusuf alayhi salam. Sabara wa ghafara. Sabara wa ghafara. Every time, patient forgiving. Patient forgiving. His brothers, patient forgiving. Minister's wife, patient forgiving. Women of the city, patient forgiving. The man in the prison who didn't release his name to the king, patient forgiving. Every time, sabara wa ghafara, sabara wa ghafara, sabara wa ghafara. Allah says, inna dhalika min azm al-umur. This is the highest level of character and you should aspire to reach it. And then Allah revealed Surah Yusuf to give us the details. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that it is Allah who established Yusuf in the land and made him a minister, gave him financial standing, material well-being, gave him power, gave him money, gave him executive authority. The person was a slave yesterday, fast track, he's now a person of power. He was owned yesterday, fast track, he owns things. But Allah reminds us, this shouldn't be your ambition, O servant of Allah. This is not your ambition, establishment in the land. No. Your ambition is establishment in the Akhirah. But you use the land as a means for the Akhirah. You want to become established in the land with the land in your hand. I make a rhyme every time. Sah? No, not to that level. But we try, Ali. We try. You want to have the land in your hand. Who do you want in your heart? Allah. The problem is when you establish yourself in the land for the land to be in your heart. That is where the problem is. You live for the dunya. Everything you do is an end in and of itself, not a means to an end. You're not doing it for the sake of the akhirah. So Allah reminds us that we did this for Yusuf, but you, O believer, reading Surah Yusuf, being guided by Surah Yusuf, don't make your heartfelt desire establishment in the land. Why? وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The reward of the akhirah is better for the person who believes and has taqwa. Has righteousness. As part and parcel of their life. Allah reminds us. You see, this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't see any contradiction. Allah always ties it together. Allah says, وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ, connects us to the ajrul of the akhirah. And this was Yusuf alayhi salam. He's established when he said, اِجْعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ, make me in charge of the storage houses. He didn't say, make me in charge of the storage houses because I need dunya. He's doing it for the sake of Allah. That if I don't do it, who's going to do it? And people will die. For the sake of Allah, I'm going to do it. يعني هو يشعر بمسؤولية المنصب. He feels the responsibility of the position. And remember, we said, he didn't say, make me in charge of the storage lands because I'm a prophet, the son of the prophet. ما في أحد يدري هذا. No one knows he's a prophet, son of a prophet. Nobody knows his lineage. They just know he was a abd and a prisoner. He was a slave and a prisoner. He put his credentials down. Inni hafidhun alim. I'm knowledgeable and responsible. And he's doing all this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should ask ourselves, whenever we write things on our CV, why? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to get taqaddum fi dunya? Are we trying to jump the ladder in terms of the dunya? Or do we have our eye on the akhirah and we see the opportunity at hand in front of us as a means towards that? So we write our CVs. Allah is watching you write your CV. Who are you writing your CV for? You have to write it before Allah. You write your CV for Allah before the employer. Allah says, يَدُ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Subhanallah. When they do the bay'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they shake the Prophet's hand. The pledge of allegiance. Allah says, Allah's hand is above their hand. That pledge of allegiance, you're doing it for who? For the Nabi or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The details of the pledge is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just to get the dunya. It's not that now the Prophet has support and then there's going to be a Muslim city and there's going to be the Muslims defending themselves and ghanima and money and zakah and all these things. And we all, No. It's not about establishing the dunya for the sake of the dunya. It's establishing the dunya for the sake of the akhirah. You think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted Mecca to be a Muslim land for the sake of the dunya? Why do you go to Mecca? For the sake of the dunya? How many people go to Mecca for the sake of the dunya? You go to Mecca for the sake of the akhirah. You go to Medina for the sake of the akhirah. Our desire to live in Medina and die in Medina and live in Mecca and so on, where does it come from? For the sake of financial standing, material well-being? No. For the sake of the akhirah. Because it's been inscribed in time like this, because the intent of the Nabi who did what he did for these lands to become Muslims, it was for these lands to be Muslims for the akhirah, not for the dunya. Do people tell you, we're going for a holiday? Where? To Mecca. Huh? So they say we're going for Umrah. Huh? We're going to Medina for holiday, yeah. We're going to Aqsa for holiday. Does a believer say that? We're going for ibadah. Keep your eye on the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now fast forwards the story. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. Allah says, the brothers of Yusuf came and they entered the palace and he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. Now, you have to imagine, this is fast forwarded, huh? Because remember, you have 7 years of rainfall, and then you have now 7 years of drought. So now Allah fast forwards the story 7 years forward. And what does this teach you? Subhanallah. Remember we said, Ya'qub alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers were in the lands of Sham, the lands of Palestine. And some historians say Canaan. These were from the lands of Sham, what we call the Levant, modern day Jordan, Syria, Palestine, and Lebanon. This is the Sham, the Levant. Allah is telling us just through this statement that Yusuf subhanallah was blessed by Allah to be so effective in how he managed the farms, how he managed the farmers, how he managed the harvest, how he managed the storages, how he managed the quotas that were dished out during the years of rain for people to eat therein. He was so phenomenal in this that not only did he have food for Egypt, he had food for beyond Egypt. Subhanallah. That people experiencing famine in other countries, they too could come and get a quota because they were surplus. And we're not talking about surplus at the end, like, okay, khalas, this is the seventh year and now it's finished and we got all this too. What are we going to do with it? Let's start selling it. No. We're talking about from the beginning. The way he's worked it out, this is how many people we have, this is what we need to give them, we have surplus. So people would come from other lands and they would pay something to the treasury of Egypt and they would get a quota for them per head. himnu ba'ir. They would get a quota that was enough for a camel to carry, but per head. Allah fast forwards the story to this time. And the drought has struck. And famine is spread. And crops are few. And homes are hungry. And from them the home of Yaqub alayhi salam. So the brothers have come to Egypt. Subhanallah. Now, I have a question for you all, especially those who are feeling the khushu of our gathering. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Feeling a bit of khushu. I always like it. Every time you get a gathering, mashallah, you get people who sit in the middle, then you get people who feel, subhanallah, the walls are going to fall, so we need to support the walls. We need to give support, so we need to lean on the walls. They say, wallahi, hada khair lil makan. This is good because the fall, yani just to give, yani hatta yani al-jidar kadhalik yatanaffas qaleelan. The walls can breathe, we want to lean on the wall to stop it from falling. Huh? Then what happens after you do this good deed of helping the wall, you start feeling sleepy. Yalla, I want to ask you a question. How did Yusuf recognize them and they didn't recognize him? How?
He recognized his younger brother Benjamin.
Benjamin wasn't there. No. Yusuf knew all of them.
Yeah,
but they didn't know him.
Because he put the bowl in his
No. You're going right and left, my brother. Allah says right now, did I mention bowl? Did I mention anything? No. Allah says, the brothers of Yusuf came, they entered the palace. Yusuf knew them, they didn't know Yusuf. I'm asking, how did Yusuf know them and they didn't know him? He changed his looks, but they didn't? He aged. Oh, this is, mashallah, dalil aqli, yeah? Rational evidence. Anybody else?
Hmm.
He's saying that when they threw him in the well, they were old, so their looks were the same. And he was a young boy, and his looks will change when they grow. MashaAllah, this is next level thinking. Next level thinking. Your answers are not wrong. Wallahu a'lam. Allah didn't tell us. Allah didn't tell us. Wallahu a'lam. However, if we tap back into the story, can we not say that Yusuf was living every day looking out for them, knowing that one day I will see them? Because when I was in the well, Allah inspired him and said, لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Remember when Yusuf was in the well, Allah said, أَوْحَا إِلَيْهِ, we inspired Yusuf. You guys forgot, it was too long ago. Habib and I, it was the first week of Ramadan. We discussed this. It wasn't last year, this Ramadan. You forgot it already, huh? Remember, or you missed that lesson. Don't be shy of the camera. When I teach the people in front of me, not the camera. Some people say, Sheikh, we don't want our voices in the camera because then we feel shy when it's published and we can hear ourselves. No, speak. Others will switch off the cameras. Yani. We want you to participate. I need to know that you're following the story. Allah told us when he was thrown into the well that Allah inspired him, لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ, that indeed, without doubt, you will inform them of what they did to you. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, whilst they don't recognize you, they don't know you. So wouldn't this imply that every day Yusuf had this hope and he was constantly looking for the signs, looking for this promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming true? It was something that he was always doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ وَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِمْ قَالْ أَتُونِي بِأَخِلَّكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ. Again, this is a fast forward. When he gave them the quota of food, he told them, bring the brother from your father. Now the question is, how did he know that the brother that's missing is the stepbrother? He said, the brother from your father, not your father and mother, meaning your stepbrother. Yani, Allah says that he said, yani bidiqqa, precisely, bi-akhillakum min abikum, bring your brother that you share the same father with. How did he do this? Clearly, brothers, this answer is very easy. Allah just fast-forwarded the story for us. You can imagine a conversation took place between them. Because how does he know in the first place there's a missing brother? Because they're asking him for food for one more brother that they didn't bring. And Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, no, the law of the land, the constitution states, we give the quota to the person who presents himself and herself. Anybody can come and say, I got 3 brothers at home. I got 4 brothers at home. I got 10 brothers at home. Don't we see this today? We see this today. Everyone's an opportunist. Well, not everyone, but we see opportunists around. Let's just try, Annie. What do we have to lose? Huh? Tell him we have three people at home. He's not going to check. He's not going to come all the way now to Palestine. We might get extra food. So Yusuf says, no. Bring me that brother. Which means a conversation took place. Maybe they said, we need this quota for our brother. Then Yusuf said, where is he? No, he's at home. Why didn't you bring him? Our father is overprotective over him. Why over him and not over you? Well, he's our stepbrother. Okay, so bring your stepbrother. And I will give you this food. Yusuf says to them, أَلَا تَرَوْنِي أَنِّي أُوفِي الْكَيْلَ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ هَذَا أُسْلُوبُ تَرْغِيبٍ. Every time in Surah Yusuf, we talk about, subhanAllah, this hikmah. To say the right thing, at the right time, in the right way. How Yaqub, we spoke about the prophetic school of parenting. How Yaqub spoke to Yusuf when he told him about the dream. And how Yaqub is speaking to the elder sons. Remember we said this, you don't scold the elder children. He said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. What are you going to do? These are your elders, what are you going to do? These are elders. You don't speak to elders how you speak to children. He said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. You've done what you've done, and you know what you've done, and you know the severity of what you've done. What are you going to say? And we gave examples to this, if I remember correctly, when we spoke about the son of Nuh alayhi salam. He's an older son, and the floods are everywhere. And Yusuf is, Nuh alayhi salam is speaking to his adult son like an adult. And irkab ma'ana, ya bunay, irkab ma'ana. Join us. Don't be from the disbelievers. But adult son knew more than the father. He says, I will go to the high mountain and survive this flood. And he says, my dear son, no one's going to survive these floods, illa man rahim, except those who receive Allah's mercy. And the people who receive Allah's mercy, they're on the ark. Get onto the ark. Allah says, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ. Between them, a wave came and swallowed him up. But do you see Nuh shouting at him, what is wrong with you, you stubborn boy? No, khalas, he's an adult. When we see this, even here in this conversation, Yusuf alayhi salam yastakhdim uslub at-targhib. At-targhib meaning he's enticing them. He's enticing them. He's telling them, can you not see that I are giving people their quotas? And I am receiving people in a hospitable way. Did I not receive you in a hospitable way? Were you not allowed to enter my palace? Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, tell me about the character of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yani, we have a situation now whereby he has the power. He is in charge. He has security. He has the money. Huh? He has the food. He has everything. And these are the perpetrators, those who stole him from his father. And look, he doesn't even discuss it with them. We spoke about al-sabr al-ittirari wal-ikhtiyari, when you're forced to be patient and when you choose to be patient. Yusuf, he's not even saying, I'm going to withhold your food. He's giving them the food. He's saying, bring your brother, I'll give him the food. This is when you live your life to a level of excellence where you don't let the moment define you, but you define the moment. And you define that moment in a way that's pleasing to Allah, because like we keep on saying, your life is a waqf, only Allah owns it. Before you speak, you ask yourself, is this beloved to Allah? If it is, I will speak. If it's not, I won't speak. Before you act, you ask yourself, is this action beloved to Allah? If it is, I will do it. If not, I will refrain from it. This is Yusuf alayhi salam in practice. It's not theory here. I told you about the theory, but time and time we see it in practice. He's giving them, and he's enticing them. When you speak to someone, you speak to them in a way that gives them confidence in you. That look, go and bring him. Can you not see I welcomed you to my palace? You'll be welcomed again, like you are welcome now. And can you not see I have enough food? We gave each and every one of you a camel's loads worth of food. Bring him, you'll get it. But what does Yusuf say after? And this is from completeness of the mannerisms of speech. He says, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَأْتُونِي بِهِ فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ. If you don't bring him to me, you will not get the measure and you will not even be allowed to enter here. Is this harshness? What did we call this? Sternness. There's a difference between harshness and sternness. And I remind you to the paper cut discussion I had with you the other day. Huh? That look, we don't belittle people's stress, we don't belittle people having mental health and so on and so forth, but we also need to stand up and speak about people who run to the emergency room with paper cuts. You're filling up the emergency room, but you have a paper cut. Just put a plaster, ya akhi. This is nothing. Huh? Suck it up, as they say. Hmm? No pain? No? Gain or ghain? Ghain, huh? No pain, no ghain in the Arabic language. There's another one they say. They say sharing is caring. Sharing is caring. But if you want to Muslim, it works in Islam. Sharing is caring. But you can also say sharing is khairing. Sharing is khairing. It's good, isn't it? This is not being harsh. This is being stern. Yani, they call this usloob al-tarheeb. And in the usloob al-tarheeb and usloob al-tarheeb. Usloob al-tarheeb is where you speak to people in a manner that entices them to act. Gives them the confidence and the inspiration to do something. You've encouraged them. You know, they call it the carrot and the stick. Usloob al-tarheeb is to sort of place across your instruction yani an itariya, a frame. So that the person listening to you doesn't take your encouragement and abuse it. Doesn't take your encouragement and abuse it. They encourage to do it, but they know there's a limit. They know there is a limit that, look, we don't have time to waste here. There's many people, there's a long line of people who need food. If you don't bring him, don't waste our time. Subhanallah. قَالُوا سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ وَإِنَّا لَفَائِلُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ. They talk about their father in the third person. يعني, meaning, they say, we will, سَنُرَاوِدُ. You know what مُرَاوَدَ is? نُرَاوِدُ is we will use, We will come up with the right words, the right sentences. We will choose the right moment to convince his father, so that we can do what you ask. How is this respectful? You can see like a sort of pattern here. Maybe it's not disrespectful, but is it ultimately the way we should speak about our fathers, our mothers? And we will butter them. We will butter them to cause them to do what? To do what we want. As if you're saying we will trick them into accepting our request. But they also say his father. They don't say our father. They don't say our father. Now remember, Yusuf alayhi salam is listening to this. Yusuf alayhi salam then tells his workers, now remember, he was a fata, he was somebody's boy before, now he has fityan, he has people working for him. Allah says, وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِ, Yusuf said to his people, his workers, اِجْعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ, secretly place the merchandise that they came with to buy this food back in their food, in the sacks of food, put it back for them. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا, so when they go back home, they can recognize that this is our merchandise, and they can remember that, subhanallah, the minister in Egypt told us to go back with Binyamin. Because remember, it's a long trip. Maybe they'll forget along the way. Maybe they'll be discouraged along the way. It's a long trip. Right now, you're saying we will do everything to get our father to give us, to give him to us, and we will come with him. You're saying that now. You encouraged. You're feeling enlightened. You're feeling inspired. But now when you're on the way and you think about it again and you think about it again and you think, no, forget about it. We're not going to do it. We know what happened to Yusuf before. Our father's not going to give us Binyamin. So in case that happens, Yusuf alayhi salam leaves with them the encouragement. And when they get back home and they open their sacks and they see the wealth that they paid for this food, it's a means of helping Ya'qub become convinced. It's a means of renewing their inspiration to go back so that Yusuf alayhi salam can finally be reunited with his blood brother Binyamin. So he says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, perhaps they'll come back. فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ, when they reach their father, finally they reach Palestine. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا, they said to their father, مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ, subhanAllah, look at the speech. This is, when a person articulates emotional blackmail. Even the سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنُّهُ أَبَاهُ, this is about emotional blackmail. Where you emotionally blackmail someone into giving in to you. They did that, remember, with their father before they took Yusuf. Then after they took Yusuf, they did it again. They said, they said that you won't believe us even if we're telling you the truth. You won't believe us even if we're telling you the truth. It's as if they're telling Yusuf alayhi salam, and they don't know that he's Yusuf. We will emotionally blackmail our father into giving us Binyamin. Now they reach their father. They say, Muni'a minna al-kayl. Those who understand the Arabic language will understand the eloquent articulation here. You know, it's as if I come to you and I say, you know, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, we got 10 bags, but we couldn't get one. Right? And then I come to you, and after this long journey, and you're hoping to see 10 sacks of food, and I come with nothing through the door, and I say, we were given nothing. Muni'a minna al-kayl. We weren't given a measure. And then you can't see any bags, and now you're thinking, okay, a measure, what about the other measures? Can you see what they're doing here? They're creating a scene. They're creating a scene. Muni'a minna al-kayl. We weren't given a measure. So then they say to their father, فَأَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا أَخَانَا. Send with us Binyamin. Send with us Binyamin. نَكْتَلْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. يعني نَكْتَلْ meaning it will be a trip of recreation, a relaxed trip, and we will get the measure, and alhamdulillah, it's a difficult time. It's a drought, there's famine. Now, what happens? قَالَ هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا أَمِنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Yaqub's voice finally is heard again. We didn't hear Yaqub alayhi salam's voice since the time he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. When the calamity struck him, and he says, I will exercise a beautiful patience and Allah is enough for me, we don't hear from Yaqub. Finally, his voice appears. He's part of the story. He's alive. He's there. He's wise. He hasn't forgotten. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a Muslim doesn't go through the same lizard hole marratain, twice. You don't fall down the same hole twice. You don't make the same mistake twice. Father hasn't forgotten. Don't think he's old, he's senile, you know, he doesn't understand how he used to understand. No. His words are simple. Qala, he said, should I trust you with Binyamin like I trusted you before with Yusuf? Should I? But subhanallah, look how he has his attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately he says, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْحَافِظُ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِينَ. Allah is the best of protectors and he is the entirely merciful and the best of those who show mercy. Yani, this usloob, this way of speaking, teaches us that Yaqub alayhi salam, he knew that these people were at fault, but he knew ultimately it's the plan of Allah, and Allah is the most forgiving. Allah is the most merciful. And at the same time, he's telling his children, I am not saying this to complain. I'm not saying this to blame. My heart is with Allah. My trust is upon Allah. My hope is in Allah. But we're having a conversation here. And part of taking the means, I'm saying to you, do you want me to trust him with you? Like I did with Yusuf? And by the way, when I trusted them with you, I did so knowing Allah is the one I ultimately place my trust in. You were just a means. You are not ultimately the protectors. Look at the tarbiyah, subhanallah. Even in their daily conversations, there's so much tarbiyah. There's so much development. And this is a lesson for us, how to speak to our children, how to speak to our employees, how to speak to our students, how to speak to those within our sphere of influence. That in our speech, indirectly, we attach them to Allah. You see this in Yusuf. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. He's always connecting it to Allah. When he told them about his lineage and about his knowledge, and he goes, that's from Allah's virtue upon us and upon the people. You see this with Yusuf alayhi salam constantly. Where did he get it from? We see it with Yaqub alayhi salam as well. We see it clearly with Yaqub alayhi salam. So Yusuf is the chip of the old block, as they say. He learned it from his father. That my father always attached everything to Allah. So Yusuf was doing it. And even Yaqub in his old age, remember, we 40 to 50 years later, he's doing the same. So, what happens? Okay, you feel conversation is done. We told our father, he said no, that's the end of it. But then what happens? They offload their baggage, they bring it into the home, they open their sacks and they find their money there. And that money is a means for them to engage their father again. They see, subhanAllah, their money there. وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ وَجَدُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ. They saw their money returned to them. So they turned to their father and said, Ya Abana, our dear father, مَا نَبْغِي. We don't want any problems. We're not here to create problems. This is what happens, you know. You lie once, subhanAllah. This is a lesson. People may forgive you. Okay? People may still trust you. But don't expect the trust to be the same like before. Not because they don't trust you or they're weak, but it's the tax you pay when you lie one time. It's the tax you pay when you break trust one time. It's just what happens. It needs time to build trust again. Don't expect people to just be naive and say, okay, you said sorry, it's enough. When Yaqub spoke to his children, he's not saying you guys are not worthy and I don't trust you and I'm ashamed of you and he just says, Wallahu khairun hafidha, Allah is the best of protectors. But he's teaching us, the ummah at large, through the story. Allah is revealing to us to teach us as well that it's human nature. When trust is broken, then don't expect that trust to be restored immediately. It needs time. Don't expect people to just trust you with their families and trust you with their wealth and trust you with their most precious belongings and their most secretive of information. No, you broke trust. So you mustn't sit and feel people have an agenda against you. You mustn't sit and feel that what's the brother's problem? What's the sister's problem? What's wrong with them? Don't they fear Allah? It was a long time ago. We forgave each other. We moved on. No. Read the Quran. And give people a break. Because you're reading about human beings and now you're dealing with human beings. If you wrong them, there's a tax you have to pay. That's human nature. And by the way, if you think about this rationally, you would do the same thing with someone else. If somebody else wronged you, you wouldn't just trust them immediately. You too will be cautious. Yaqub is being cautious. That's all he's doing. He's not saying you are untrustworthy, unworthy. He's saying, I'm just being cautious. Now, what's the proof of this? He lets them go with Binyamin. We'll see this. They engage him in discussion and say, my dear father, we don't want any problems. This minister we're telling you about, look, we didn't lie. We told you he's generous, he has money, he gives. He's told us, if you come, I will give you. Look, he's even given back our money. Now, I have a question for you guys. Why did Yusuf give them back the money? I shared one reason, that perhaps it could instigate. And it's helped. Has it not helped? They asked the father. Father said no, effectively. Then they opened the sack. They see this. It gave the chance for round two of discussions and for Yaqub to reconsider his options. Not so? But also, some of the scholars of Tafsir say that Yusuf knew that his father isn't rich, that the family isn't rich. And you have to come with something to buy the food. It's not free distribution. You have to come, leave some wealth in the treasury, and we give you a quota. So by Yusuf returning the money, then they would come back because they have the money to get another quota. Now, somebody might say, but is this breaking trust of the public service? Because now you're using your authority. And not necessarily, because it would only mean that whatever money Yusuf gave back, he would have put from his own self into the Baytul Mal. He would have put it himself. Isn't this plausible? We know who Yusuf is from the beginning of the story. Do you see this boy as a boy who's going to break public trust? No. Very plausible. We have confidence that he would have put his own money inside the public fund. So what happens? Yaqub alayhi salam, they tell their father, yani وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا وَنَحْفَظُ أَخَانَا. We will be responsible over the family and lead the affairs of the family, and we will يعني, protect, be a guardian of our brother, وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ. And we will come back with one camel's load of food. ذَلِكَ كَيْلُ يَسِيرٌ. My dear father, it's easy. Wallahi, we've seen what this minister has. He has so much there. Don't worry, we won't go and come back empty-handed. He's going to give us something. Now Yaqub, okay, he sees the money being returned. He can see that there's something here. There's an opportunity here. He's a father, he's responsible for the family. There's a drought, there's a famine. He's going to let Binyamin go because that is the rules. Okay, fine. That's the rules, okay. But not like before. Some extra protocols in play now. What does Yaqub alayhi salam say? Lan ursilahu ma'akum. Okay, we can do this. I'm going to answer your request, but I'm not going to send Binyamin with you until hatta tu'tuni mawthiqan min Allah, until you take a qasam and oath, you swear by Allah. Lata'tunnani bihi, you will come back with him. إِلَّا أَيُّ حَاطَ بِكُمْ. Except if something impossible happens to you. You're surrounded and something impossible happens. But you will not come here without him due to your own actions. What is Ya'qub doing here? Ya'qub is letting them know that my boys, when you came the first time 40, 50 years ago to tell us that a wolf ate Yusuf, and our father, you won't believe us even if we're telling you the truth. I'm telling you that I know you are lying. I know you are lying. Because I'm going to make you take an oath by Allah that you will bring him back. The only time you won't bring him back if it's due to somebody else's actions, not yours. When a father tells this to a son, what does the son think? That subhanAllah, wallahi, wadari, huh? Yani he knows. He knows, yani. He knows that the last time it wasn't the wolf, it was us. He knows that the last time it wasn't the wolf, it was us. So he's done this, alayhi salam. Ya'qub alayhi salam has done this. He's indirectly let them know that, you know what? I know. Na'am, I know. But subhanAllah, look at rahmat al-walid liwaladi. Look at the mercy of a father to his son. In this we learn how to even make our children take an oath by Allah. Because when you take an oath by Allah, this is azim, this is great. When you swear by Allah, this is great. You can't break it. So he puts an exception. You know, we call it in the contract a caveat. He puts a caveat in the oath that swear by Allah that you will bring him back except if something beyond your control happens. This is from the mercy of a father to his children. And he doesn't want to set his children up for failure. He's setting up his children up for what? For success. And this is a lesson for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not set people up for failure. Set them up for success. If you're promoting someone, carry out the necessary diligence. Check their personality type. Check if they're suitable for the role. Promote them, maybe promote them in stages. Put them under the current leader for 3 to 4 months. Run assessments. See that they're suitable to carry the position after the current lead goes. You set them up for success, isn't it? Understand their difficulties. Maybe they need training in this department. Maybe they're a different type of leader. They will need two people around them. So set up the budget to cater for two people being with them. This is setting up people to succeed. You don't take people and throw them in the deep end. You set them up to fail. When you give someone charity, set them up to succeed. Don't set them up to fail. Sometimes we help people in such a way where we chop their legs off at the knees. For example, somebody wants to buy a car. They have $5,000. They need $5,000. And then you go and give them $10,000. And then they need something else. You get it for them. You need something else. You get it for them. And all what do they do with their money? Khalas, this is free money. So they have no responsibility with money. And then what happens? Tomorrow you're not there, or you can't give them. What's happened now? Over months, over years, you've chopped them at the knees. They don't know how to work. It's too hard for them. Everything was too easy. But if you keep people honest, how much do you have, brother? 5,000? Okay, I'll top it up for you, 5,000. Somebody wants to buy something else. How much do you have? I have $250. How much is it? $1,000. Okay, go work and get another 250, then I'll give you 500. Because you can see that they want to work. This is from sadaqah, but this is smart sadaqah. Smart sadaqah. You know, smartphones, everything smart. Your sadaqah should be smart as well. Set people up to succeed. And we see this advice in Surah Al-Kahf. When the people of the cave woke up and they were hungry and they wanted food, and they said, look, we can only get food by sending someone back to the place where we ran away from. But what did they say? وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. Go conspicuously. What did they say? They say only by halal, by pure food. The people there, they worship idols. These people, we know, they're idolaters. They have haram food. By pure food, وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. Be conspicuous. Are they not setting up their brother for success? But in the advice that they're giving their brother? This is who we should be. Ya'qub alayhi salam is teaching us also, whenever we deal with people, whenever we have contracts with people, be merciful in your contract. Create enough caveats that don't break the sanctity of the contract, but also sets up people to succeed. And this is Islamic fiqh. If you look at the rules of fiqh and the words of the fuqaha, of the scholars of Islamic jurisprudence, you see this in their words, subhanAllah. That they always set exceptions, and everything they're trying to do is make the contract equitable. To try and set a contract that helps both people succeed and not one person succeed at the expense of the other, or vice versa. That we don't set up people for failure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَتَوْهُمْ أَوْثِقَهُمْ. They agreed, they took the oath by Allah. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. There's no witnesses besides me and you, but guess what? We have the ultimate witness with us, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'qub alayhi salam says, I make Allah a witness to this contract between me and you. You took an oath by him. Allah is the witness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wakil, the one who we dispose our affairs with. We don't need a lawyer. Allah is the witness. Allah will protect our affairs. This discussion with us is recorded in the heavens. Then Yaqub alayhi salam, subhanallah, continuing this theme of setting people up to succeed and not to fail, he gives his sons nasiha. Because you can imagine, he walks out of his home. He sees his ten boys. And he sees Binyamin, the 11th boy, and the grown boys, and they're on their riding animals, and they have money. They're going back to Egypt for a second time. And the Arabs, they always value families that have large number of boys in it. It was a norm that you have so many sons, mashallah, tabarakallah. This was a norm, even at the time of the Quraysh. The Quraysh used to value this, families with many boys. So you have all these boys. Now, if Yusuf was so handsome, you can imagine that these boys were also handsome. Yusuf was had ultimate handsomeness, but these boys were also handsome. And they just went to Egypt. And now people will see them coming back again. But this is not the same for everybody else. Everybody goes once and that's it. They get their quota and they go back. And in a short space of time, these people are coming back. And they're coming back with an extra boy. What can happen? The evil eye. Al-Ain. Al-Ain, evil eye. Evil eye, subhanAllah, is haqq. It's the truth. Unfortunately, we have extremes. We have people who everything is the evil eye. Every failure is the evil eye. Anything happens, evil eye. And because of this extreme, we have another extreme. People say, no, there's nothing like the evil eye. Ugh, it's nothing like it. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You didn't study hard enough. You didn't lock your door well enough. The other extreme. The Muslims are in the middle. Not everything is the evil eye, but we believe the evil eye is haqq. That sometimes Allah gives you a blessing and somebody else is inspired by your blessing and they forget to remember Allah. So that blessing is left unprotected and the shayateen use that blessing to affect you. The Prophet said it's haqq, this is a system of Allah. So Ya'qub alayhi salam, to set his children for success, not for failure, he says to them, my dear boys, لا تدخلوا من باب واحد. When you get back there, don't enter through one door. ولكن, meaning, rather, يعني enter through أبواب متفرقة. يعني وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة. Enter through different doors. You have the city has many gates. Enter through different gates and then meet up inside. Why? Because if you enter through many gates, it won't look like you're a big caravan of people who look the same and one family, they're all brothers, mashallah, you know, I mean, wow, you say, mashallah, this is good. But you know, we say, wow, look at this, you're amazing. We tell people like this, we speak to them. Sometimes parents, without even realizing, they give their own children evil eye. It's possible. You're proud of your child, you forget to remember Allah's fadl upon you, Allah's blessings upon you. And the shayateen use that pride you have for your child as a means of troubling your child. But there's a solution. The solution is the adhkar of the morning and the evening. And that's why you should teach your children the adhkar of the morning and the evening like you teach them Quran. Teach them the adhkar of the morning and the evening like you teach them Quran. It's very important, brothers and sisters in Islam. Because in these adhkar are the gates, are the protections. It's not enough to say mashallah. Sometimes somebody prays, you say mashallah, brother, say mashallah. And we hear this because of Surah Al-Kahf. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Right? The person who had the amazing garden and he was being pomp and arrogant because of it, his friend said to him, the person who was in dialogue with him said to him, if only you entered your Jannah and you said mashallah, this is what Allah willed, لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, all power and might from Allah. So sometimes we see this. Tell someone, you know, you pray someone, they say mashallah, ya akhi, say mashallah. It's good, you must say, don't set up people for failure, say mashallah, but also tell them, but brother, I'll say mashallah, but you also do your morning adhkar and evening adhkar. Because if you do your morning adhkar and evening adhkar, even if I forget to say mashallah, you'll be protected because the adhkar protects you. So Ya'qub says to them, enter through the different doors, save yourself from the evil eye, as the scholars of tafsir say. And then, subhanallah, we get this verse, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Again, he ties everything back to Allah. He says to his sons, but listen, this is advice that I'm teaching you, but I want you to know that I cannot save you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan in any way. Allah's plan is Allah's plan. I can't save you. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. All the decrees are only for Allah alone. This is part of tawheed. Allah creates, so it's only for Him to legislate and decree. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Subhanallah. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ. It is only for Allah to create. So if it is only for Allah to create, it is only for Allah to legislate. Who has the right to legislate? The Creator. So he's teaching his sons this. My advice to you is advice, but I can't save you from Allah's decree. He says, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. I put my trust in Allah, and those who place their trust should place their trust in Allah. If you place your trust, only place your trust in Allah. Meaning he's teaching his sons and teaching us all tawakkul. And that tawakkul entails two things. Number one, taking the means. And number two, not relying on the means, relying on Allah. That you lock your door, but you don't rely on your door being locked for your property to be safe. You rely on Allah to make the locking of the door the means for your property to be safe. You take the medicine, but you don't rely on the medicine. You have a headache and you take a paracetamol, for example. You don't rely on the paracetamol. You rely on Allah to make the paracetamol work for you. This is from Iman. This is from Tawheed. This is from the completers of Tawakkul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that these sons took their father's advice. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمْرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ. They entered Egypt again, following their father's instructions through different doors, and then they met in Egypt after entering through the different gates. Allah says, مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Yaqub's advice to them could not save them from the command of Allah in any capacity. It was advice. Yaqub said what he said. Yani, Allah says he said what he said. But he said what he said. إِلَّا حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا. And Yaqub said what he said, just to, you know, sometimes you have, subhanAllah, you have to get it out of your system. Yaqub knows that at the end of the day, what Allah wants to happen will happen. And he knows that I've taught my children. But he still taught his children. It was something in his heart to tell his parents. Sorry, tell his children. And that's what, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when our parents get older, sometimes they tell us things, subhanAllah, and may Allah forgive me first and forgive us all. Our parents, they tell us things when they get older. They know we know it. They know that we know it. They know that we know that we know it. But they say it to us to get it out of their system. Every time you travel, wherever you get there, you phone them. But when you travel, they say, just make sure you call me. Don't forget to call me. Then you pass in the passport. Make sure you call, huh? Don't get upset. Say, yeah, okay, khalas, you told me, don't worry about it, I'll call you, okay. Don't do that. It's your parents getting in. يعني حاجة في نفسي عقوبة قضاها. It's from this realm. It's a worry in their heart and they need to get it out. And there's certain things like this, advice, you can get out to people. But there's certain things like complaints when things are difficult, you don't get it out to people, you complain to who? Allah. This is called bath. This is called bath. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي. Will come to it. Yaqub says that I complain of my bath only to Allah. Bath is, you know, sometimes you have a worry, you need to talk to someone. This is bath. I have to speak to someone. I have to get it out to someone. That's bath. When you have a worry that you need to get out of you, this is bath. And huzn is the sadness that you feel within you. That should also be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But advice to people also, like your parents giving, being instructive with you. Sometimes it's just something they need to get out of their system to tell you. Drive slowly when you're going out of the house. Make sure you drive slowly. Okay, they told you that when you were 18. They told when you were 19. Maybe they told you that when you got your license 100 times. No problem. Say, Abshiri, Mama. Definitely. May Allah forgive me. And forgive us all. I'm thinking of the time, subhanAllah, sometimes my own parents have told me something and I can't remember a particular point, but perhaps you think about it and you say, subhanAllah, why do they keep telling me? No, you should feel proud. Let them tell me and let them tell me and let them tell me, because wallahi, one day will come when you leave the house and nobody will tell you, drive slowly. That voice will be gone. صوتٌ غائب بعد أن كان حاضرا. A voice that has disappeared after it was present. Because our parents will pass away and you will see them in front of you before you bury them. But they can't speak. You can see they have eyes, but they can't see you. You can see they have lips and a tongue, but they can't speak to you. You can see they have ears, but they can't hear you. You'll be wishing that they say, drive slowly. It's not going to happen. So Allah is teaching us that as parents get old, they have these things that they need to get out of the system. And Ya'qub, Allah is saying, Ya'qub said this to his son to get it out of his system. He didn't say it to his son as if to tell his sons, his sons plural, as if to tell him, if you do this, you won't be harmed. No, no. He said it to them to get it out of his system, knowing that ultimately it's Allah who decides the means you take and whether it's going to work for you and whether it's not going to work for you. Sometimes you lock your door, it doesn't work for you. Sometimes you take the medication, the headache doesn't go. May Allah protect us. Umuman, we stop at this particular juncture, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Inshallah, when we come tomorrow, we will begin with the brothers again in the presence of Yusuf alayhi salam. But just before we end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That of course Ya'qub would say all this, and this is the reason why he would say it, because لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ, he was a possessor of knowledge that we taught him. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people, they don't know. They don't know. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who teaches all knowledge, and above every knowledgeable person is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.